You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The St. James Theatre, which first opened in 1928, is a Category 1 heritage building sitting on Queen Street in Auckland's Arts Precinct. Once a venue for many shows and concerts, and having hosted notable individuals including Queen Elizabeth II, it has since been in a state of disrepair after it closed following a fire in 2007. Its fate has long been debated, as it further decayed, and attempts to restore it had stalled due to lack of funding. Finally, in 2023, the government announced it would match Auckland Council's pledge of $15 million for the rebuild, allowing work to fully recommence. I spoke to Steve Bielby, director of the St. James Holdings, about how the rebuild is coming along now that funding is secure, what remains to be done, and how the public is engaging with the news that the St. James will one day reopen its doors. So last time you spoke on BFM, the state of the St. James was pretty dire, with thefts, leaky roofs, and funding uncertainty. What is the future looking like now? Are all the pieces of the puzzle coming together, or are there still major challenges remaining?
No, I think we've got the major pieces of the puzzle in place for the theatre now. So construction started, consents have gone in and things like that. So no, physical works have started on site and we're into it. You know, we've now got a target of opening at some point in 2028. Looking forward to getting the public and welcoming the public back into it.
Are there any major challenges remaining?
Look, other than the fact it's a 100-year-old building and we're trying to structurally upgrade it and we've got to make it fit for purpose for modern productions, you know, theatres are already a pretty complicated building, but to try build a modern theatre inside an old theatre, you know, certainly presents challenges, requires pretty bespoke solutions. So we're working through them, and I think we're starting to solve some of those sort of unknowns.
Yeah, in terms of those bespoke solutions, how big is this enterprise and how are you obtaining the expertise and material to undertake the project?
I guess there's two elements. There's the structural upgrade and services upgrade of the building, which essentially is, making the building fit for purpose and with things like, new modern fire sprinkler systems and all that compliance stuff that we're required to do. And then there's the ornate sort of fine arts restoration of the heritage building. The ornate fine art stuff is a lot more nuanced and a lot more niche, and the new, more compliant stuff is really just about being solutions-focused and trying to find ways that work that we can do things. You know, you don't really have a lot of choice. It's compliance stuff, so you have to do it. It's just about how we do it.
And one of the recent developments was the second venue underneath the St. James. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, so essentially the St. James has always had a northern basement and a southern basement, and the auditorium was in between those two. So what we had to do for a fire compliance point of view was link those two basements together. So if there was a fire in one, you could exit through the other one rather than be trapped down there. And what we found when we sort of priced that bit of work, which essentially was building a tunnel between the two, it was actually more cost effective for us just to remove the material completely and not have a tunnel at all, just sort of create like a giant open space. So that's exactly what we've done. And then we sort of thought, well, this is a really large space. And, there's a bit of a shortage in the city of available sort of performing arts spaces and things like rehearsal spaces and things like that. So we decided that we'd turn it into a bit of a black box venue. So it's not part of our scope to fit it out or, all the finishes or anything like that. But we will build the shell and essentially the black box side of it. So it's sort of a bit of a blank canvas for people to come in and be able to use.
Will it be built in a similar style to the rest of the St. James, or will it be completely different?
No, so it won't be. The St. James is a Spanish Baroque building that was built 100 years ago, so we'll leave the main auditorium and the main St. James building, in that style, and that will be restored, whereas the black box venue in the basement will be of today, so it will be a modern, lab or modern toilets and, things like that in it. So it will be, fit for purpose and not sort of a replica or trying to replicate another look.
What are the plans for the long-term maintenance of the St. James once restoration is complete? Where will funding come from and who will operate it?
Yeah, so that's part of the operating model, which we're about to go out to the public in the next couple of months and consult on and ask the public, what do you want to see in there and how do you want to see the venue operated? And that will inform, those more longer-term decisions. I like the idea of kind of like a heritage venue levy. You know, there's 50 cents or something for every ticket sold there that goes into a maintenance sinking fund for the building. And that sort of, you know, after the roof, you might need replacing after 25 years, you know, suddenly you've got a fund there to be able to do that or to fund, you know, parts of it at least. So that's sort of my view, but we're going to go out to the public and ask the public what they want, how they want to see it operated, and that will really dictate how that, you know, the answers to those questions.
Right, so you expect the building to sort of fund itself over time?
Well, I think there's an option there where it does fund itself, and that that will appeal to some people. It won't appeal to others. You know, I guess there's a wide range of views about how the theatre should operate, you know, whether it should be like a charitable community-run model, whether it should be run as part of the like the Auckland Live, Te Takahi Auckland Unlimited model that run the council venues. So they run the Aotea Centre and the Civic across the road and the Town Hall. Or, you know, is it commercially run? Is it run as a commercial venue, you know, such as the power station and venues like that? So there's sort of a wide range of options there, and each one sort of has its, you know, pros and cons, and I think it's sort of about assessing what the public want and then building the business case and scopes around each of those and what they cost and the viability for each one. So that's sort of our next package of work.
And coming out of COVID and with the cost of living crisis and potentially competition from other venues like the Civic, do you expect there will be sufficient demand for the venue?
Oh, yeah. The Civic, actually, people struggle to get dates in the Civic. So we're not anticipating any issues with a lack of demand or anything like that. You know, we've done our business case based on the St. James Sister Theatre over in Melbourne called the Palais, and that has in excess of 220 event nights booked there a year. So there's definitely the content out there to bring there, whether, you know, I don't think that content's currently coming, or some of that content's not currently coming to New Zealand. So it would bring new content here, which is, I think, something to be excited about.
So we would get more shows and it would sort of support the entertainment industry?
Yeah, and I think it supports Midtown as a precinct. You know, that whole arts quarter, you know, that's where we're trying to create a hub and a centre of excellence around. And it's just another sort of string in the bow of Midtown. You know, I don't see the Civic and the Town Hall as competition. I think they were all actually quite unique venues and in their own space. You know, for example, the Civic is really set up to do its amazing large-scale musicals and productions like that, whereas the St. James might have a different focus. You know, it might be more concerts and comedy, the smaller-style productions, more smaller-sized productions.
You have campaigned a lot to politicians and to obtain funding. But at the same time, you've fostered a strong social media presence. What is the importance of this online presence and how much engagement are you receiving?
I think it's just part of the modern project ecosystem, really. It's all about, you know, taking people on the journey with you, especially in these sort of these public type projects, which is essentially what this is. I think, you know, people have an interesting project and people want to know about it. So making that information available to them and presenting it in a way that is, you know, digestible to the current generation, which is things like social media, is a really important part of the story to tell.
Yeah. How are people responding to this whole project in general?
Are they fanatics about it? People love it. Yeah. I think in this sort of crazy twilight world that we're living in at the moment, people are pretty amped for good news and a good news story. And that's what this project is. This is an ambitious project which says, look, this is going to be better in the future. And I think that's what people are looking for at the moment.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to do a tour of the St. James last year, just before the restoration commenced. And walking through it, the building was obviously dilapidated, but like you could feel like the history and the sense of future potential.
Yeah, look, it's amazing how much... It's amazing how much, I guess, you know, the building needing a good clean and just fixing some of those things, that are like the deferred maintenance issues. You know, like it's really had deferred maintenance for the last 30 to 40 years. And I think that, you know, addressing some of those issues really, you know, we're just even getting some of the lighting going in there at the moment. And that's such a huge difference, you know, some of the architectural lighting.
Yeah, but I mean, could I ask you, like, what does the St. James make you feel being in there, and has that changed over time?
I think I've been on a bit of a unique journey with St. James, where it's sort of had a lot of ups and downs. For me, I think I'll be able to relax a lot more once it's finished. I think once it's done, for me, it sort of still represents a lot of work and a lot of things that we're still trying to solve. You know, some of those sticky issues. You know, we're now sort of dealing with really small scale you know, micro decisions sort of thing, you know, like, oh, which way do we run this cable or which way do we run that cable? You know, what's the best route to take? But they're still decisions that have to be made, you know, every day.
What brought you to this project originally?
Look, I have a, I run a trust that restores historic buildings, and this is, I guess, the top of the pyramid. This is the ultimate heritage restoration project in New Zealand. You don't get much bigger than this, and more challenging than this. And I think I was attracted to the challenge. Also, it's an important building to me. Like, when I went to university, we didn't have a Spark Arena or anything like that for concerts. So it was St. James. You know, you had artists, you know, large artists like Kanye West and John Legend and the Black Eyed Peas. You know, they played St. James because that was where artists played. So for me, it was quite a, I guess, quite a part of those seminal years of my life. And as a part of me, it's a bit sad that it's not there for, you know, the generation going through right now.
Yeah, yeah. And what can we learn from the St. James about protecting our heritage buildings in New Zealand?
I think, you know, just the public response to St. James tells us that people do care about it. You know, we do have a culture, we do have a history, and it is worth protecting and enhancing if we can. You know, it has got value and we should value it.
Yeah, I guess last question, can we expect a 2028 opening at this stage?
Yeah, look, that's what we're targeting at the moment, and that's what our program shows. And I think we'll get a real clear picture on that in the next 12 months.
That was Steve Bielby speaking about the ongoing rebuild of the St. James Theatre, which is expected to open in 2028.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.